Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is so great to be with you guys. It's Sunday. We got football to talk about. More importantly, we have five 49ers players that we're going to be breaking down on our roster countdown series as it continues. We're breaking into the 50s today. We've got number 63 to 59. And my favorite priority free agent or undrafted free agent, however you want to call it, of this draft class, I am pumped. I could do a whole episode just on this one player, which I'm super, super pumped about. Excited to see what he can bring. This is episode 1659 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. And I just want to start off just with condolences, sympathy. Man, Aldon Smith passed away yesterday. And, you know, if this is your first time hearing about it, I'm sorry. Just breaks everybody's heart. Kid was 36 years old, delivering pizzas to a homeless shelter, and then passed away an hour later. Just absolutely just terrible. And, you know, my condolences to his family and to everybody. You know, Booby Dixon, who a lot of us know and love, and if, you know, he comes out to the 49ers Rush events all the time. Really great guy. He was the one that found him and administered CPR called the, like, it's just horrible and horrifying. And I know people like talk about like how great of a football player he was and all those things, but just the connections, like in the way that it affects everybody that's still left, it's just horrible. And I say all of this to say this: cherish your loved ones, cherish the time that you have. Who knows when our number is called or whatever that is, but just, try to be present and try to be, you know, there for those that need help and, you know, just be thankful for the time you have. But just absolutely horrifying, tragic, and just wanted to put something out there. Just, you know, we're here to talk sports and enjoy ourselves, and it's the off season. But, man, it's a constant reminder of what life is and what life isn't. And so just be present with those that matter to you, and don't take times for granted, please. Please. But rest in peace, and hopefully all the loved ones. Just thoughts out to those guys. You're incredible. Want to say thank you to everybody for showing up, all the hashtag CCs. We got Josh in the house, Alec in the house, and shout out to Josh, Zach, and Ben, the executive producers of this 91-man roster countdown. We've done it multiple years in a row now. We rank 1 through 91, the importance of the player's impact to the 49ers 2026 season alone. This is not long-term effects. In today's episode, we got number 59 to 63 as we count them down. Going to be a fun one. What's up, Kev? We got a lot of fun people in the chat today. What's up, guys? Everybody showing up. Yeah, thank you for putting that in there, Geronimo. Appreciate you guys. Thank you, Ben. Yeah, that's what it is. There we go, Geronimo. Watch it on Twitch solo. A lot of people don't know. We're not big on Twitch, but we are wherever you watch and or listen. We get most of our traction through Spotify and Apple Podcasts, but YouTube, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. We don't go live on TikTok, but we do post clips there. We're on Twitch. We're on Dailymotion. I don't even know if we have subscribers there, but we're all over the place. Wherever it is you watch and or listen, we are thankful. And so, Geronimo, appreciate you, man, holding down the fort over on the Twitch front. You are awesome. So let's get to why not start it. We got a Longhorn. Hook 'em, baby. Number 63, Jack Baumeister. This is the punter, and usually, like, I kind of alter the rankings so that the 53, like, you get your kicker and your punter and your long snapper in that range. Usually I try to. This year I didn't, because one, there's a punter competition. It's not just, okay, we have our punter. Jack Baumeister technically is not even on this roster, which fudges our numbers just a little bit, but I don't care. He's part of this team. The reason why he's not, you know, technically on the roster right now, he can't get his damn visa, which is just ridiculous, man. Like, this dude's in the NFL let's get him a damn work visa so he can get over here. Now, the funny thing is the 49ers play in Australia week one, so technically he could be there. But it's just absolutely asinine from, you know, a logistics governmental standpoint. Just come on, man. This is ridiculous. But this is a fun player. And I know that everybody has such, myself included, regards my disdain for kickers and punters and using draft capital on those. Does not, and make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, does not mean I dislike punters and kickers. It doesn't. I just think that they are pretty much replaceable unless you're a top three at your position, which no drafted player ever has been or ever will be. Even first round picks that have been used on Seabass and whatever else, like, didn't really work out. John Gruden almost had to cut Seabass because he was so terrible his second year, but whatever. They're borderline replacement, but they have such great value. And they affect the game so much. And, you know, we have broken down every single special teams play for the 49ers for four consecutive seasons. I haven't missed one play. And so my first coordinator position was special teams. Like, the value, the hidden yardage matters so much. And like Eddie Pinheiro, are you kidding me? Like I could just say two names back to back, and this should illustrate how important special teams is. Okay. Eddie Pinheiro, Jake Moody. I don't even have to give context. You hear those two names back to back and you're like, yeah, oh, it's funny. You know, we, sorry, my throat. I stock up on autographed jerseys for all of our events at the 49ers Rush Road Trips. And like, man, it's funny. Cause every year I'm like, dude, there's no way we can give all these jerseys away. I should show you guys the boxes I have stacked. It's so just excited. And I almost got, my dealer said, he goes, we got some Jake Moody autograph jerseys we got nothing to do with. Like, you want to give me something for them? And I was like, should I bring those as like a negative? And like, you know, just give them away almost as like kind of a joke. And I was like, no, that's not cool. Like, that's not cool. And so like, I had to like push back against it. But I did think about it. And there was a good 5 to 6 seconds where I was like, oh, this would be hilarious. Like, if somebody's a runner up in trivia, I give them a Jake Moody autograph. But then I was like, no, that's not, I don't want to. I hope Jake Moody has a positive career moving forward. I'm also very thankful he's no longer on the team. But you just hear two names and you're just like, wow. Yeah, very different impact just on the way we feel, but also the game. And so punters matter. Jack Baumeister matters. He is a stud. Now, Chris Winkie would be proud. Because Jack Baumeister is a 27-year-old rookie. He's 27. Now, his path to the NFL is quite unique, to say the least. You know, he's from Australia, went to Michigan State, redshirted, then went to Utah, had a great career there, then transferred to Texas last year, and his last year and was incredible. And so, sorry. My quick kind of synopsis or title for Jack Baumeister, who I do have, you know, over Corliss Waitman, I think that he is going to win the job if he can freaking get in, but best in big games. That, like, we go through punter analytics. Like, that's a real thing that I did today. But he was best in big games at Utah. He was best in big games at Texas, and he has experience. He's 27 years old as a rookie. He played 50-plus games. Like, a fun player. I really, really like this guy. Kimbrough, thank you for the super chat. You are incredible. Whenever I see you in here, I get happy. Love the countdown. Love the faithful. Hope you had a good anniversary, JC. Can't wait for the Niners home events. Yeah, we're still working on those, and it's probably only going to be one or two. But, man, I'm pumped about it too. Like, a big reason why we moved here was so I could do this. I used to fly in for a home event so that we could, you know, host people. And then the Niners did what they did. I don't want to dive into that. That's okay. But yeah, like, trying to figure that out. So once we get more details and get everything signed and all that stuff done, you know, we've got some time. We'll get that all delivered to you. Look at Joe coming in. Great guy. First round Hall of Famer, but only one. Yeah, taking a who was the kicker that they took in the second round and he didn't even make the roster the second year? Like, you just can't do it, man. You just can't do it. Yeah, Winkler, I like it. Yeah, Josh, give me a putter who's not afraid to tackle. And that was all of our Mitch Wisnowski's like favorite thing. One of the worst draft picks of 49ers history. And I know he got a second contract or whatever else. Never had a top five year. And he was the highest drafted punter in the NFL for, I think he's still on a roster. He's got his back issues, but he's still the highest drafted punter in the NFL. And like, never had a top five year, had a borderline top five year, a second contract when he was paid like third highest punter, but like never lived up to the draft pick, never lived up to that. Not that I don't like him. Loved Mitch, loved his attitude. One of the best holders in the field goal. Again, we break down every damn special teams play ever. That was awesome. But yeah, you just can't. Now, Jack Baumeister, he's 6'2", 209. He's a big cat. And he could run too. Like, I think he was a 4.4 guy. He ran a 4.46. Like, he's an athlete. And, you know, he's born in Australia, was in Bendigo. I hope I'm saying that correctly. I know somebody just ears just screech, and I apologize. Played cricket growing up. He was in the Bendigo Football League, the Sandhurst Dragons, baby. Trained at the Punt Factory in Australia. Same process, literally, that Mitch Wisnowski went through, this punt kicker factory where they developed these soccer and Aussie rule football players into punters kickers. Utah, that's a pipeline. That's where Mitch went as well. The 49ers like their guys from Australia. They bring them in all the time. They really, really do. And it's a legit camp battle. One of the better ones between, you know, Jack Baumeister and Corliss Waitman, who we already covered. And so you've got a vet versus a high upside rookie, 27-year-old rookie. So you use the term rookie sparingly. It's rookie versus experience. And, you know, Baumeister, he's a personality, by the way. Like, he's a fun guy. There was a podcast out where they were interviewing him at Texas. I think it was the Inside Texas program. I think it was. Oh, I hope I didn't incorrectly name that one. I'm mad at myself right now. He was asked, like, what's his favorite thing about America? He said Chick-fil-A. He eats Chick-fil-A every single Monday. Has since he's been at Texas. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Now, my favorite thing about him doesn't fall into the analytics category. It falls into the big game category. You know, a lot of people, I'm a Longhorn, so understand that. You go back to last year, the Texas versus Ohio State, which was a terrible game. It was a defensive, you know, whatever, back and forth. Arch Manning was terrible, his worst game in his young career. Go watch any of the games after that. Pretty freaking awesome. He had that bad game. They had the bad Florida game. After that, he was incredible. Best quarterback in the country. Not named Fernando Mendoza those last games. But I digress. The only reason why the Longhorns had a chance to win that game against Ohio State was Jack Baumeister. He was unbelievable. Yeah, 4 for 4 punts inside the 20. He had 3 50-yard kicks. Like, the biggest plays of the game were defense and Jack Baumeister. Kept him in the game till the fourth quarter. Now, Texas lost that game, but it wasn't because of him. And then you go back to his Utah game. Utah BYU, the holy war, whatever you want to call it. Like, huge game. Utah beat BYU. This would have been a year removed, so I guess 2024. He was the MVP of the damn game. In a rivalry game, this dude, listen to this. Okay, these are his punts. I think he had 6 punts, and I outlined every single one. Yes, again, I went through and broke down punting tape from 2 years ago, BYU, Utah. I'm a sick man. I can't help it. But that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm smiling. Listen to these punts. This is all in the Utah-BYU game, okay? He had a 56-yard punt to start the game. Inside the 15-yard line down punt. Out of bounds at the 5-yard line punt. 58-yarder that rolled into the end zone barely. It is bad coverage. Should have been down at the 1-yard line. And so, like, you look at it, it's like touchback. Oh, what happened? Well, I went back and found the play. It was absolute bullshit. It bounced at the 3. It slowly rolled in. Coverage just didn't get there. Then the next punt down inside the 10, and the last kick was fair caught at the 9-yard line. Like, barely won the game. Hold on. Like, MVP of the Holy War, Jack Baumeister. Big games, big games, big games. That's what he does. He He's played in 53 games, 213 punts, 43.8 average, not amazing. Hang time, not near as good as Corliss Waitman. So I think that's probably the biggest discrepancy. Do you want the big game kicker or do you want the experience with hang time kicker? That's Corliss Waitman. He's hang time. He's going to keep that ball up in the air for a long time. You want an impact punter that could pin teams inside the 10, 15, 10, 5-yard line. That's Jack Baumeister. Obviously, his ceiling is way higher, but that's where he is. Got $15,000 guaranteed, but again, like the contract for Jack Baumeister is pending because of the damn work visa. Get it straight. It bothers me. But anyway, we're starting the show off with a punter battle. Why not? Why not? You might have heard the phrase dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself. You can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. That's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. Let's get it. Oh, look at this, Thomas. Congrats to Joe Montana, the GOAT. Just turned 70 this week. Ooh, he's still handsome. He's still handsome. Kimbrough, remember when Wisnowski did the fake on his own? Loved it. We never fake it. Kyle Shanahan has called zero fake punts in 10 seasons. He has allowed zero fake punts. The only fake punt was negated by a penalty. Mitch Wisnowski just said, you know what? There's nobody over here. I'm just going to run it. Gets the first down. But I think it was Ronnie Bell. Of course, it was Ronnie Bell. Had like a holding call and it got called back, whatever. But yeah, it's weird. Zero faked punts. There are just some areas where Kyle Shanahan is the most conservative, you know, play caller in the NFL. Not a lot of them, but like, yeah, going for it on fourth and punting, he does not like to gamble in those areas. What's up, Captain? Appreciate y'all. Kimbrough, Utah, I'll take two. Yeah, there we go. Howdy. Baumeister was certainly a weapon for the Horns. Could be a sneaky, undrafted free agent. Yeah, and that's where all punters should go. Let's just be real. every punter and kicker, you should never draft one. Like, if there is a 1 in 1,000% chance that that final pick of the draft could be Brock Purdy, you spend 1,000 of those picks on a quarterback or on a position that matters. Kickers, you sure as hell don't draft a kicker in the third round, but that's what it is. What's up, Tommy? Appreciate you, man. Yeah, I love it. You're not too late. You're good. You're good. You're good. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yeah, look at this. Tommy, why do you use it as government name? Yeah, Jonathan, did he spell it right? A lot of people, no, he didn't spell it right. My name is misspelled, right? I am J-O-N-A-T-H-O-N. So it's not Nathan at the end of it. It's Jonathan. I don't know why my mom spelled it that way, but there's no H. But whenever I go by John, it's J-O-H-N. So I'm just a big mess. Now, I'm pretty excited about this one. My favorite priority free agent comes in number 62, Khalil Deakins, the tight end out of Penn State. They put out so many great tight ends in the past like 20 years. Khalil Deakins could be the next one. I was very, very shocked. How do I say this? I was shocked Khalil Deakins didn't get drafted. He wasn't one of my graded players. I did 200. I knew of him. I knew who he was. Dave Brugler had a 6th-round pick on him. I was like, yeah, this is going to be a 6th, 5th, 6th-round guy. And then in a draft where all the tight ends went early, like it was crazy. That run in the 2nd and 3rd round on tight ends of the draft this year was just abnormal. You know, that 13 personnel is kind of taking the league by storm, whatever else. How Khalil Deakins was able to slip through, it's perplexing, but I'm thankful. Because the Niners should have drafted a tight end last year. Like, if I could change one thing, I don't know about one thing. One thing from the 2025 draft, I would swap Renardo Green out for Harold Fannin Jr. Harold Fannin Jr. was my favorite player in the draft last year. He was my number one, and I love that guy. And I just, there was just something so unique about him. He's already a top five tight end in the NFL. Whatever. I digress. You needed a tight end last year, didn't get one. You needed a tight end this year, didn't get one. You only had 8 picks. I get that. But with the aging, injured George Kittle, I'm just like, gosh. And then you got Luke Farrell, who's just like, gross. Khalil Deakins, though, if you would have told me the Niners took Khalil Deakins instead of Enrique Cruz or fill in the blank, Khalil Black, whatever, it probably would have been a stretch there, too. I just really like this guy. This tight end, great. Huge size. I mean, 6'4", 251. Niners do not go after small tight ends. I remember the Kenyon Sadiq argument. I'm just like, dude, they don't go after 6'3", undersized tight ends. They've never drafted a 6'3", guy. 6'4", or bigger. 6'4", 250? This is a big dude. Size, elite blocking, and pass-catching upside. The parallels between Khalil Deakins and probably, one of my favorite tight ends of this draft class was Oscar Delp out of Georgia, who was this elite blocker, but showed athleticism, just never was used or called upon that in Georgia. Khalil Deakins is like that. You say George Kittle was like that. Now, Khalil Deakins is not the athlete that Oscar Delp is. He is not the athlete that George Kittle is. But the profile and the job he was asked to do at Penn State, Khalil Deakins, he's a blocker that can catch, just wasn't asked to do it a lot. 37 career receptions for Khalil Deakins, the same thing as Kittle, same thing as Delp. And so the question is, can you see him as more than that? Or is he just that Charlie Warner, Luke Farrell role where you're just an extra offensive lineman that can move a little bit, win in clutch? That's kind of the issue. Going to be wearing jersey number 82, Khalil. And again, listen to these comps for mock draftable. Oscar Delp, 87th percentile. Michael Mayer, 86%. Cam Latu, 84%. The athletic profile and size tracks to the NFL. Now, Cam Latu is just too soft and had mental drop issues. But the thing that the 49ers loved, like Oscar Delp, Michael Mayer, Cam Latu, yeah, check, check, check. Like, he fits a mold where you're like, all right, let's roll. And he was at Pitt State. You know, I see the James Franklin. Yeah, Cowachipto. What's up, man? Pitt State firing Franklin is going to be huge for that program. But, like, the one thing about Franklin, which I always thought he was crazy, he was a recruiter. And if you don't know about James Franklin, the Key and Peele lookalike dude, he has a policy. He would not hire assistant coaches unless they had attractive spouses. He said, if you can't sell yourself to the opposite sex, you can't sell yourself, like, recruit kids to come to your school, which crazy. I don't know. Maybe he's on to something, but, like, it's just crazy to me. But James Franklin could recruit. And he, like, yeah, Kimbrough right here, I can't stand Penn State, but I like Deakins. And I like Deakins too. I really do. He went to North Allegheny High School, where he shined and led to a 4-star rating. He was a team captain multiple times. Now, Khalil Deakins' dad was a quarterback in the NFL, a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He did play, but he was a practice squad guy for 8 seasons in the NFL. So you love the fact that he was with the Saints when they won their Super Bowl. Spent 8 years in the NFL as, you know, kind of the emergency third practice squad quarterback. So you have that pedigree there. You have that, dude, this dude, dad was in the NFL for 8 years. He knows. Do this. You know what I mean? Khalil Deakins committed to Pitt State. It was a vital piece in their pass blocking sets, which the 49ers need that. Wasn't much of a receiver, but worked his ass off. Josh, you know, is one of the producers of this series, loves this dude. He's a Penn State guy. So, you know, I'm throwing you out there, Josh. Hope that's okay. And, you know, he talked about how he watched Deakins so much and throughout his career, just the blocking needs, did everything that they wanted him to do. Now, with the pain of Luke Farrell, what you're paying him, I was hoping they'd move on and draft somebody or bring in a vet. Still wish they would bring in a vet, but it's what it is. That much turnover with the Kittle question mark and the injuries. We'll see. But if George Kittle does miss time early, which I think that he will and probably should, don't rush him back. 32 on Achilles, short time frame. That's rough. I get all the optimism. I get all that. That's beautiful. Just, man, get that right. You have to have Kittle for your run. You cannot go win a Super Bowl with Luke Farrell as your tight end one. Can't do it. Just can't. So there's hope because the tight end room is shallow. It's just how much of an impact can a rookie priority free agent tight end make early on? Tight end, I argue, tight end and probably quarterback are the two most difficult transition positions in the NFL. It's the hardest. It really, really is. Because you've got to learn all the pass game sets. You've got to learn all the routes, concepts, audibles, motions, run game, audible motions, everything. You've got to know everything. I used to tell guys, like, if you want to be a head coach, coach quarterbacks. If you can't coach quarterbacks, coach tight ends. And then the defensive side, like, all right, linebackers, that's going to get you because then again, you're working offense, defense, you're working, you know, front 7 run game fits and pass game fits. Like, you've got to be involved in run game and pass game. And so quarterbacks, tight ends, linebackers, safeties to a lesser extent, and then offensive line. Like, if you coach running backs or D-line, you're not going to be a head coach. Like, you're just too pigeonholed. Not say you never be that, but anyway, take for that what you will. College career for Khalil Deakins, you know, 47 games, 37 receptions, 10.8 yards per catch is good. 7 touchdowns on 37. Like, he's got some juice to him. He's got the athleticism. He just looks the part, which you can say for almost all Penn State tight ends. They go after athletes. Now, he ran a 4.7. He's not a blazer, and his 3 cone was bad. So he's not a change of direction guy either. But you see the athletic profile, the bend, which it's like, wait, you say bend, he doesn't change direction well. His body kind of control and contortion, like, you're like, man, a big guy, he moves with grace. And you see it, and you're just like, huh, maybe he's faster than I thought. Maybe he's a little bit shakier than I thought, but then the testing numbers don't say so. But then you watch the tape, and it's like, man, he's kind of flexible. Like, there's a lot to it. Now, Dane Brugler in The Athletic, again, Khalil Deakins was not one of our draft profiles. He had a 6-round grade on Khalil Deakins, and these were some of Dane Brugler's notes for The Athletic. Blocks with the purpose, consistently gets movement, finishes blocks with attitude, moves well for a big guy, but change of direction isn't great. Good hands, but wasn't a priority in the pass game. And here's kind of the summary quote for Khalil Dinkins. Quote, overall, Dinkins has the athletic traits and flashes to earn a promising label as both a pass catcher and a blocker. His best football should be ahead of him. He can find NFL success if he lands with the team willing to cultivate his talent. End quote. No major injuries for Khalil Dinkins, which that's huge. And again, I just keep going back through this, and I'm just like, man, why was he undrafted in such a priority draft? It's weird. Is it like pedigrees there? I couldn't find anything off the field. Couldn't find any injuries. Just like kind of weird. And the 49ers paid up big for him. $275,000 guaranteed. Second highest biggest. They really only paid two priority free agents, James Thompson and Khalil Dinkins. But I think you need tight end more. I just think you need it. So you look at PFF grade, 65.2 run blocking, 50.1 receiving, not the best, but 69.6 pass blocking. That is what it is. That is what he could be. If all works out well and George Kittle returns and is healthy and is, you know, what he's always been, Khalil Dinkins slides into that Luke Farrell role, allow Kittle to go out on those routes. That's what you're hoping for. And you look at the depth chart, George Kittle recovering, obviously. Jake Tongis, Luke Farrell, Khalil Dinkins. Then you got Braden Willis, Hayden Rucci. That's your six. Light room. Light room still, because Kittle's not practicing. So Khalil Dinkins is going to get the reps. We'll see what he's able to do with those. Howdy. Excited to see Dinkins hit the field. It was a bummer he missed OTAs. It was, man, and that's kind of just the way it goes, and, you know, minicamp got canceled and blah, 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 and all those things. It's a lot. There we go. Fannin would have been Collins, not Green. Oh, did I miss that one? Oh, still, like, you know, I'm a big Collins guy, but, yeah, you would have had to get him early because, yeah, where did Fannin go? Harold Fannin went pick 67. Yeah, you are correct. I mean, Alfred Collins went pick 43. You would have had to trade back or trade up in the third. Nick Martin went 8 picks after Fannin. So do with that what you will. Kittle, very similar trajectory to Khalil Dinkins. It really, really did. Right there. Don't mention Farrell and Warner in the same sentence. I take Warner over Farrell all day. Everybody was. Yeah, it's what it is. Franklin was overrated in recruiting. Campbell might have a top 10 class in his first year. Yeah, like coaching wise, like I don't know. Penn State's been relevant. Like, and I know we got some Penn State fans in the chat, so I understand my ignorance in this matter. I do not track Penn State football. But, man, he brought in a lot of athletic players. They've been relevant, lost a lot of close games. Matt Campbell's a better coach. I believe that. I really, really do. I think Matt Campbell is a better pro-ready coach. Franklin's whole thing was get the elite athletes, and he did that. Just, I don't know. I don't see Penn State as a top 10 program year in and year out. And they were right on the cusp of that. Maybe Matt Campbell can get there. The Big Ten is very top heavy and they are part of that. We'll see what that is. But I love these conversations, man. These are the conversations I love when you're having like a beer with some friends and you just get off on a tangent. And like me and my coaching buddies are like, James Franklin, top 20 coach, like, or top 10 coach, top 20 recruiter, top, like, you know, getting through that. So I love it. And again, I plead my ignorance because I don't follow it. This is an outsider looking in. So deal with that what you will. So that's Khalil Dinkins. I freaking love the dude. I really, really do. Now, if you guys are going to any 49ers road games this year, you got to come party with us. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All right. Look at this from Geronimo, staying true over there. On Twitch, you're the man. Would have loved to see Oscar Delp in a 49ers jersey. He played behind Bowers, would have been just fine playing behind Kittle. Oscar Delp was one of my Rush crush. I had a high second on him. And man, that dude flew off the board. I kind of knew that he would. Oops, let me see here. Where did he get drafted? Third round, 73rd overall. So yeah, that was like, I had a second round grade on him, and the 49ers took Romello Height three picks ahead of him. I would prefer Romello Height. And, you know, we're going to do a bit, I think on Tuesday, hopefully we get the John and Wayne show this week. I haven't talked to Wayne yet this week. I know we missed that last 2 weeks. That was my fault both times. But yeah, I mean, I'd take Romello Height instead of Oscar Delp for sure. But yeah, they, like that top of the third round was Sam Roush went. You had Romello Height go, Antonio Williams, Oscar Delp, Malachi Fields, like AJ Halsey. Like it was just Chris Brazel, Ted Hurst. That third round, and it's funny because Kyle Shanahan even said this. He said we felt the strength of this draft was in the end of the second to third round, and we had no picks there. So we had to move around. And they did that. They achieved that for Romello Height, which was, you know, and Kalen Black, which is crazy to me, still will always be crazy to me, but I hope Kalen Black goes out and turns out again. That's Neo. I watched Matrix the other day, and the whole time I'm like, dude, Kalen Black is Neo. He's the chosen one. He is finally going to buck the trend. He's there to change everything. I'm on the Kalen Black train. I am. But yeah, I would have liked Oscar Delp. All right. Let's get to pick number 61 of the 49ers roster countdown. Fan favorite, Sebastian Valdez, the Hulk. Rawr. Defensive tackle extraordinaire. My favorite, like, highlights, work ethic, just needs consistency. You saw it all throughout training camp and every training camp report. 55, 55, 55. Sebastian Valdez. Who's 55? Hey, I'm there, and people are like, who's 55? Like, Just making mincemeat out of, you know, the starting center. Like, whatever. We'll deal with that later. Like, when Sebastian Valdez, the defensive tackle, Hulk, wins, he wins quick. And he wins decisively. It's like, oh, damn. And now, the problem is, double teams ate his lunch consistently. And when we got to the preseason, the flashes were early. The second game, not as much. Third game, even less than that. They love Sebastian. The 49ers love this dude. 49ers fans love Sebastian Valdez. He's awesome. 6'3", 300 pounds, wears jersey number 55. He was number 85 last year. Now he's 61. Like, he jumped 24 spots, and he didn't even play in a game for the 49ers. Like, and I think that's a testament to, one, you know, again, shout out to Zach, Ben, and Josh, you guys are killers. But, like, 49ers fans, the content that's put out there, myself excluded, like, you are well-informed. And, you know, we travel to all these stadiums, and I love partying with other fans and meeting Bucks fans whenever I'm in Tampa, or Dolphins fans whenever I'm in Miami or wherever, unless I'm in L.A. There's no such thing as Rams fans there. Like, but meeting these opposing fan bases, just having conversations like, oh, dude, tell me, like, what podcast you listen to? And they're like, podcasts? Oh, I listen to this one. And they're like all generic NFL ones. Niners fans, you have 60-plus podcasts. And the fact that, you know, right now there's, I don't know, the 300-some-odd of you guys watching this live blows my mind. We're in June. I'm so thankful that you guys chose to be here with us right now. It's a big deal. I don't take it lightly. I really hope that that comes across. But like the fact that there are players on this roster like Sebastian Valdez that I get asked and emailed and DM'd about. And I'm like, dude, this dude's never even played in the NFL. He's never played in a regular season game. But everybody loves him. Yes. You know what I mean? It's like, hell yeah. Like, y'all get it. This is what the NFL is. And I get the countdown isn't for everybody. The roster countdown we do every year. How do you get hyped about the 61st player? Only 53 guys make this team. Dude, Sebastian Valdez is how you get hyped. This dude is a wrecking ball that is just awesome. When coaches and fans and players all love the guy, it's like there are Venn diagrams somewhere that's just like, and in the middle of Sebastian Valdez, it's like, hell to the yeah. The Hulk. Like, he's just awesome. His career, he was a Montana State guy, was there for three seasons, then transferred to Washington, and just dominated from everywhere. He's a California kid down in San Diego, went to Monte Vista High School. I know there's a Monte Vista up here in Danville as well. He's the San Diego one. Two-time all-conference player, 8 sacks as a senior, was a high school standout, goes to Montana State, which, you know, kind of weird, but he was the defensive lineman of the year for the conference there, transfers to Washington, labeled the quarterback killer and elite run stuffer. He was the defensive newcomer of the year for that conference. Priority free agent for the 49ers. They paid pretty handsomely to get it. You look at the 49ers through 3 years, they're paying defensive tackles. Evan Anderson, Sebastian Valdez, James Thompson Jr., Bryson Eason. Like, the one area that the 49ers will consistently pay priority free agents is defensive tackle. They feel like they can find value there, and I love that. And the fact that you have guys like Evan Anderson and Sebastian Valdez on the back end of this defensive tackle roster, I think it's huge. And excuse me, I apologize. You know, Sebastian Valdez spent all of last year on the 49ers practice squad. Like, he didn't play, but his intense work ethic, he won practice squad player of the week several times. In fact, the 49ers elevated him as the maximum number of times and healthy scratched him. And people were like, it was funny because they'd announce a day before, usually 24 hours before kickoff, if you're going to elevate somebody, Sebastian Valdez has been elevated. And so I get all these, you know, questions. Even, oh, dude, is there a way, like, you think he's going to get his first sack? And, like, how much is he going to get playing time? And I was like, man, I don't know. Like, there's no injured defensive tackles. How is this dude doing my best Dumb and Dumber impersonation? How is this dude going to get playing time? And he didn't. They healthy scratched him every time. And people are like, why would they do that? Why? Well, he got a pay increase every time. This was throwing him a bone financially and saying, look, dude, we want you here. We're going to elevate you, healthy scratch you. You enjoy the extra pay increase this week, but just know we want you here to get him some extra money. And the defensive tackle room's deep. I said this last episode, quarterbacks, wide receivers, defensive tackles. Those are the three deepest positions, in my opinion. Linebacker, maybe. Cornerback, maybe. But good. If tackle, like, God, this roster. I love this roster this year. I don't know how he's going to find his way up. He's got to make significant strides. But the competition level is there. We'll see what it is. Can he get better and consistent against double teams in the run game? That is the key. One-on-one, no issues. His upper body strength, there's a reason why they call him the Hulk. Splitting the double teams with technique, not his forte yet. One-on-one pass pro wins. One-on-one run game wins. Double team, which the 49ers in their scheme could change a little bit, still going to be a lot of double teams. It's going to be hard for him to get there. Again, zero snaps, but he made $316,000 last year. You know, just getting that extra money would have been, you know, right at about 250, 60-ish. but you know, getting them that extra 50,000, that was huge. You look at the defensive tackle depth chart: Osa Digizua, Alfred Collins, CJ West, Grayson Halton, who very similar build, very similar win style, very similar. Like, that is a direct competition level. Grayson Halton, Sebastian Valdez, those guys. Evan Anderson, James Thompson Jr., Bryson, like, that's eight young defensive tackles. This room is young and stacked. People have to ascend. You cannot get the same play from Alfred Collins, CJ West, Sebastian Valdez, Evan Anderson, the four, you know, returners. They got to step up. And, like, there's fluidity in this room's depth chart. Yeah, Alfred Collins had a lot of positives, had some negatives. I'm an Alfred Collins dude. He's a rush crush player. I predicted him being picked. I had a second round grade on him, high second round grade. Love the pick. He loses early. Alfred Collins loses early, consistently wins late. You can't do that consistently in the NFL. Can't do it. He's got to fix that. Sebastian Valdez is the opposite. He wins early. And if he doesn't win early, he doesn't win at all. But yeah, Sebastian Valdez, the Hulk, comes in number 61. Awesome guy. Wears jersey number 55. Oh man, I love it. I love it. Let's see here. Let's get to a couple more comments. Let's back it up. I missed a couple on the tight end chat. Kimbrough, I'd be happy if you get Tonjes and Kittle on the field at the same time. Me too. Kyle Shanahan never did it. Yeah, I would like to see that change. Kyle Shanahan changing, not too much. I hope that changes. Peanut Jeff, thank you, man. John, thanks. You're grinding, brother. I love getting to know these guys and their stories. That's what it's about, man. That's what it's about. Kimbrough, it's stacked interior defensive line room this year. Going to be tough to make it. You keep 5-6. And if that cutoff's there, I don't see Sebastian Valdez making the 53. But if there's an injury or two, or he ascends, then all right. There we go. Love you, Captain. You're the best, man. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you, man. man, Cooey Jazz? Cooey Jazz? Man, you got an awesome name, and I apologize if I butcher. I'm going to call you K. You are awesome. What are you talking about, John? There's no one else we'd rather be with than this. Hashtag CC. Thank you, man. thanks, Kim, bro. You're awesome. And right here, Bid, NY Niners. He helps with this whole series. He helps with everything. Great friend. Great man. Thank you, Ben. Practice squad guys matter. 1 to 2 injuries away from making a difference in the game. The 49ers utilize their practice squad better than any team in the NFL. And I always say this, you know, not that players coming out of the draft listen to the show, but like if you could choose a practice squad and the 49ers offer you, you go. You look at guys like Jordan Mason, Emmanuel Mosley, Azeez Alshai. Like, come on, dude. These guys are getting paid top of the top. Matt Breida. You could just go on and on and on. These guys getting paid. Jake Tonjes. Like the story just grows. Like, these guys that are back-end players that the 49ers just trust. Roz Dwelly. Just trust. Mullins. Come on, man. Dude's made millions of dollars just by being on the 49ers practice squad. And Shanahan stays with them. The Shanahan loyalty program. You get in and you prove yourself with Kyle, he will reward you, period. Practice squad matters. It's what it is. Yeah, right here, Kimbrough. Yeah, we saw that last year with receivers, defensive ends, and linebackers. Garrett Wallow, good gosh. You can go on and on and on just about all the players that get promoted. Patrick Taylor Jr. Whew. All right, number 60. I don't want to say we're taking it down a notch. A little bit harder to get the optimism with number 60, Isaac Grindo. Never been a Grindo guy myself. Freak athlete, 6 foot 220, fastest running back coming out of the draft, ran a 4.3. And you look at his rankings, you know, drafted 2024, he was number 48 on our countdown. Last year was number 31. He was in line for the number 2 role. They traded Jordan Mason. I thought that was stupid at the time. I think it's stupid still. He was 31 last year, drops 29 spots, and now he's got a torn pec. tore his pec a month ago. Shanahan was like, yeah, we don't think it's season ending, hoping to get him back at training camp. And like, in this is my own Chapman spin on it, so discount it, obviously, if like whatever. I think the torn pec helps him. I think the torn pec allows him to stick around on this team more than if he was healthy, because he got passed by Jordan James last year as soon as Jordan James got healthy. You draft Kalen Black in the third round. Third round running backs make rosters, period. Unless, I mean, shoot, even Williams, who never got an NFL carry for the 49ers, was a fourth round running back. He made, like, Kalen Black's making this roster. He's Neo, I'm telling you. Isaac Grindo might not have made the roster if he was healthy. Is the show over? Man, give him a year. You just keep him on the pup all year. Doesn't count as a 53-man roster spot. Maybe he gets healthy in November, December. If you have an injury or two, you can activate him. You just put him on the shelf. I think that the injury, not celebrating it, and I feel awful for Grindo, who has just been plagued by injuries. Six out of seven last seasons, Isaac Grindo has had major injuries. Six out of seven seasons. That's going back through college. Just can't stay healthy. And I mean, a torn pec working out, like, it happens. It's awful. But like, I wish he wasn't injured, but the injury may keep him with the Niners an extra year. May. Because you just keep him on the pup and he doesn't count. He just doesn't count. Yeah, Kimbo right here. I bet they IR Grindo injury settlement. I think he'll go on the pup because he got injured before training camp. So like, it's a little bit different rules. Difference between IR and pup is you get the extra roster spot and whatever else. If you put him on IR now, then he's done for the year. You can put on IR once he's on the active roster. So that's the IR reserve versus active. We'll get into that once training camp starts. But yeah, just a financial difference is the only difference. I'm with you. But yeah, Grindo wears number 31, 6 foot 221. He's 25 years old. Was at Wisconsin for several years, transferred to Louisville, never started. You drafted a running back that never started. Kalen Black wasn't a starter. Drafted him third round. Ah, that's a weird one. Neo, come on, man. Chapman. Kalen Black's Neo. It's changing everything. Born and raised in Clayton, Indiana. Grindo was. Father was an immigrant from Central African Republic. Awesome story. Mom was a track and field. And you look at Isaac Grindo, was a stud. Was Mr. Football in Indiana for the entire state. Stud high school, you know, track guy, wide receiver, three-time state champ. I mean, he is speed on speed on speed. Basketball player, four-time all-conference selection, all those things. Goes to college, never starts. Was kind of a pass-catching option. Pass pro was his specialty, but just could not find his way into the starting lineup. Just couldn't beat out college players. And you see why. Injuries, 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 injuries. Fumbles, 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 fumbles. You're a running back. How do you overcome those two things? He has not done that. Doesn't matter how big and how fast you are. And I would argue the reason why Shanahan lost favor with him, he has the worst vision I've ever seen. And I wrote this in my draft write-up back before the Niners drafted him. Dude runs into the back of his blockers consistently. You put him out there as kickoff return guy, and he runs into the back of his own players again. Fumbles running into the back of his own guy. Butt fumble. Like, that was the thing for me. Just like, and seeing no progress through three seasons of vision. It is big plays. The positive here is you could never take away Isaac Grindo's game-clenching run against Seattle in Seattle. I was there for that. That was awesome, man. Niners fans were loud as hell in Lumen. It was awesome. That was such a fun game. And Isaac Grindo, he clinched it. You can never, like, that is awesome. That was an awesome moment, and I am thankful that Isaac Grindo contributed that. It was a gap run scheme. It was an inside zone run. Like, and all of his big plays were designed gap. You can't give him a zone with an option because he just doesn't have vision. You have to say, you run here. It's paint by numbers. He just can't see it. And like, the 49ers drafted him in the fourth round, 129 overall, which makes it worse is they traded up. They traded two fifth-round picks. If you remember that draft, running backs went. Bucky Irving went. Ray Davis went. Will Shipley went. All like in like five picks. Niners panic. They trade 2 fifth-round picks, jump up and take Grendo. Those 2 fifth-round picks, Quantrez Stiggers, elite special teamer and defensive player, and Isaiah Davis, who's a running back that's 3 years younger and way better. Like, you gave up 2 picks and both those picks way better than Isaac Grendo. It's not even close. Tyrone Tracy went a round later. Ah, it was a bad pick. It was a bad pick. You know, he's got 3 starts for the NFL. You know, he started more NFL games than he has college games. And played in 30 games, 84 rush yards, or 84 rush attempts, 420 rush yards, 5.0 yards per carry. That's great. It's boom or bust. And I remember writing my draft profile, 2 yards, 1 yard, 0 yard, 2 yards, 40 yards. Like, consistency is not his thing. A lot of negative plays. But his big plays are splash plays. Niners hope they could train that. Didn't do it. Didn't do it. And got passed by Jordan James. Coaching staff lost trust in him. He got benched on special teams. And, you know, last year, played 173 snaps. 173 of them were on special teams. And he was god-awful. It's like, dude, you're 6 foot, 220, run a 4.3, and you suck at special teams. A terrible blocker. He had a punt blocked because of him. I don't think it attributed to him. He went the wrong way. Like, I don't know. What would you say you do here? It's hard for me to find a positive with Isaac Grendo outside of his athletic profile. Has never finished a training camp in 3 seasons. Not going to do it this one. Rookie training camp, he practiced less than Ricky Pearsall. Like, just rough, man. Just rough. So, 4 year, $4.7 million, you know, deal. He's made $2.4 million in his career. That's awesome. Congratulations there. Where does he fit on the depth chart? Christian McCaffrey, Jordan James, Kalen Black, however you want to go with that. I put Patrick Taylor Jr. ahead of him. Sincere McCormick, they just released and brought back. Probably wouldn't put him ahead of him. But now that Isaac Grendel is not going to be able to practice. Jamar Jefferson, Jordan Mims, they were signed then cut. I don't know what to do with Grendo. I really, really don't. I struggle mightily with Isaac Grendo and the upside. And that's why I go back to this idea that the torn pec will help him stay with the 49ers for free for an extra year. Maybe he learns. Maybe if there is an injury in November, December, January, then you can activate him off the PUP. And yeah, Calachipto, no reason to release him. He doesn't cost anything. You're already paying him. Yeah. He has never started anywhere, not even Pop Warner. Yeah, that's true. And a lot of people love Grendo. I want to give Kruger his flowers because, man, Kruger nailed this draft class with the 49ers this year. He was a giant Grendo guy. And Krug disagree on a lot of prospects. But he puts the work in and he watches them. He was a huge Grendo guy. I wasn't. I was a huge Alfred Collins guy. He wasn't. I was a huge Mikael Williams guy. He wasn't. He's a huge Kalen Black guy. I'm not. This is what happens in rooms of coaching staffs as well. And I hope that Grendo has a great career, takes this year, learns, comes back, and is a stud and contributes. Please stop trading up for offensive players, says Tommy. Ugh. Ayuk worked until he didn't. The Ayuk trade up worked till it didn't. Trey Lance didn't. Williams didn't. Dante Pettis didn't. Yeah, there's a lot that didn't. 2 fifth-round spot. Yeah, picks, that was our sweet spot. Yeah, Trey Sermon didn't. Jalen Hurd didn't. Jalen Hurd, a little bit different. I will never be convinced that Jalen Hurd would not have worked. Like, we had that one Cowboys preseason game where that dude was just a monster. But the injuries, right? The lower back and whatever else. But, like, I remember I had Jalen Hurd ranked ahead of Debo in my wide receiver rankings that year. I had Debo appropriately ranked. I had a second-round grade on him. But I was head over heels in love with Jalen Hurd. The injury just was too much. There's no doubt about that. Get bro, I threw up in my mouth reading those names. That's awesome. Hey, what's up, Sin? So glad you're here. So glad you're here. All right. The last one of our roster countdown today. We're going a little long. Hopefully everybody's all right with that. Don't get too mad at me. The Maple Missile, number 59 on the roster countdown, Curtis Rourke. I love this kid. He's just unique. You're coming from Canada. Weird as hell. He's a minister. Like, dude was a minister while in college, has not one but two college degrees in communication and coaching. Played an entire year with a torn ACL and takes his team to the college football playoffs. With a torn ACL, just kept playing. Brace it up. just tape it up, man. Like, dude's freaking awesome. He's such a cool dude. Wears jersey number 4 to 14. He was 4, now he's 14. 6'4", 220. Not a little bit different. He's different than the other 49ers quarterbacks. This is a big-bodied, old-school, big old quarterback, man. Stand in the pocket, deliver. Now, he's got some weird mobility. He got 14 rushing touchdowns. Like, he's got some sneaky mobility, but two torn ACLs. Had a thumb surgery and missed time. Had a shoulder surgery, missed time. Like, injuries are there. Durability, major concern. Major concern. But the 49ers had a plan. They drafted him in the 7th round, 227 last year, with the idea of, man, we're just going to sit you. I love the chess that was played with the roster, the quarterback roster last year. You signed Mac Jones to a 2-year deal, not a 1-year deal like you had been doing. And then you use the 7th round, just redshirt pick on Curtis Rourke, and you say, we're going to redshirt him. He ain't even going to count against the roster. His contract tolls, right? So you draft a rookie in the 7th round, you get him for 4 years. Well, he didn't play. He never came off the NFI, not football injury, because he got injured before he was drafted, even though it was a football injury, but that's a whole other debate. We'll get into that at training camp. And you just say, hey, guess what? Because he stayed on the NFI all last year, that contract tolls. So he still has 4 years controlled. He'll be a restricted free agent after 3 seasons. Very similar to Jordan Mason, Juwan Jennings, Azeez Alshire, like all these different guys. So you still have him for 4 more years. Just learn. Just be in the quarterback room, be in our meetings, watch our film, learn, come out, compete next year. And now you're competing for the Mac Jones replacement job when Mac Jones leaves. Mac Jones is leaving. And I don't care what somebody else says, but Mac Jones is leaving. I don't think you could agree to pay Brock Purdy what you're paying him and Mac Jones $30 million a year, which is what he's going to get in the open market, as long as he doesn't like kill his value. But shoot, Mac Jones' value is just ascending. Look at what freaking, what's his name, Kirk Cousins made this year with the first round overall pick of the Raiders. Like, there will always be a climate for quarterbacks that could step in and help your team, even if you do draft a rookie quarterback, which next year in the draft, 2027, a lot of rookie quarterbacks. Going to be heavy quarterback draft. It's good for the Niners. Curtis Rourke is just a redshirt guy. Come in and compete. Win the number 3 job this year. Step in for the number 2 job next year. That's what the 49ers want. Can Curtis Rourke do that? He's 25 years old. Played at Ohio, the Bobcats, and then transferred to Indiana. He was Fernando Mendoza before Fernando Mendoza. It led Indiana on a torn ACL and all with Kurt Cignetti to the college football playoffs last year. Then they went it this year. He's not as good as Fernando Mendoza in that system. He's born and raised in Kitchener, Ontario, the Maple Missile. That was such an awesome name. Went to Holy Trinity High School in Oakville, Ontario. Small-time recruit. Goes to Ohio University, then transfers, and won so many college. He was the vice president of Athletes in Action, a ministry organization in Ohio. 3-time academic All-Mac. Graduated with 2 degrees in communication and a master's in coaching. Dude, like, yeah. You want cerebral quarterbacks that understand what's good? Like, dude, check. It might be the holiest quarterback room in the NFL with good old Brock Purdy and the Maple Missile. I'm sure they're having Bible study and whatever else. That's awesome. Like, hats off to them. His brother, Nathan Rourke, you may have heard the name, he was at Indiana before Curtis. So he followed his brother to Indiana a year removed. brother was on five NFL teams practice squad. Again, it's important that you have people that have gone before you and you can answer. And man, what was it like? This dude was in five NFL quarterback rooms. What do I do? What do I don't do? Give me some best practices. You think it matters. It just matters. And the fact that Curtis Rourke was drafted in the seventh round, despite having a torn ACL at that time, you knew that. Again, I would rather draft Curtis Rourke 100 times out of 100 drafts than to ever spend that pick on a punter or a long snapper or a kicker, because you might get a franchise quarterback. I don't think Curtis Rourke's going to be a franchise quarterback, but if it's a 1% chance, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, he's recovered. Now, I didn't do a draft profile. I did a small draft profile. I didn't go super in depth because he was just such a fun player. Dane Brugler had a 6-round grade on him, the Beast, the Athletic. These were some of his notes that matched my notes. We always put our draft report out before the Athletic because I don't want to steal from him because they work year round on it. Big bodied, easy thrower of the football. Throws with elite confidence and no fear. And it's funny, Brett Favre was his favorite player growing up. He doesn't have that arm, but like you see the mentality. It's a tight window. I can do it. Like there is that mindset. Oh, I can do it. And then the negative to watch a Curtis Rourke play doesn't get through progressions. He has a pre-snap read. I'm going to my first read. It gets him into trouble. But he makes throws that you're like, man, you probably shouldn't have thrown that. And like, it works. He's that type of guy. He's that type of mindset. As tough as his gets, good deep ball, good touch, really, really good deep ball. He will stay in the pocket. CJ Beathard-esque. Like, he does not care if there's a defensive tackle coming scot-free. He'll stay in there and take the ball. That's a big reason why he's hurt so much, right? But like, tough mindset. Level 100 out of 100. He's as tough as a quarterback as you will get. Durable, not so much. Tough mindset, yes. Yes. Got to learn to work through progressions. That's my biggest issue. 7 fumbles in 2024 alone. Here was Dane Brugler's synopsis. Quote, overall, Rourke is a good-sized pocket passer who will push the ball downfield when everything stays on schedule, but his average mobility will be tough to mask against NFL defenses, end quote. He's not a mover, but he's tough, and he's the type of guy that will take a really good angle against linebackers and lunge forward for a first down, touchdown. He had 14 rushing touchdowns in his career. Like he can get it done, but he's not like juking or outrunning people. It's 3rd and 3. He'll take 2 hits from a linebacker and a defensive tackle and fall forward. He's a big dude. Yeah, James, country strong. There we go. Well said. 79 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. You love that ratio. 67% completion passer. That's great. Played an entire year on a torn ACL. Come on, man. Got $134,000 guaranteed. Made $368,000 last year, despite not playing and all those different facets. So that's number 59, Curtis Rourke, the Maple Missile, who's just freaking awesome. He's just awesome. Yeah. He's just awesome. He really, really is. Right here, Kimbrough, do you count last year because he was never activated? Yeah, so the contract tolls. You still have 4 years of control. Technically, it counts, but then you get the 5th year will be a restricted free agent where you control the rights to the player. You got to tender that, right? You didn't tender Khalil Davis. Like, you had control of him this year, but the lack of consistency for him, you didn't even toll him, so you just released him, right? That's where that is. Late to the party and late, you guys, no worries. Just glad you're here. Doesn't matter when you show up. I prefer you show up on time. If you turn notifications on, we appreciate it. But if you're here, man, in June 14th, you are the best of the best. That's just all there is to it. That's all there is to it. the chat's going crazy. Chat's going crazy. Yeah, it's what it is. Right here, Terry. John, I know it's early. What position group will the Niners look at picking up in the 2027 draft? That's a great question. You know, you have Trent Williams saying he's going to play for two more years. And I know this tolls as well. Every year, got to draft tackle, got to draft Trent replacement, got to draft Trent replacement. For the first time ever, Trent said, I'm retired. Like, last year's going to be my last year. And then you look at Colton McKivitz. He's 33 next year. Yeah, Enrique Cruz might be a guy. How does he develop this year? Does he give you confidence? Offensive tackle has to be at the forefront. Even if Trent does come back and play next year, dude, Colton McKivitz getting long in the tooth too. Hopefully, you know, they both come back next year and play as well. But, like, tackle is it's up there. Center. Can Carver Willis transition to center? You didn't extend Jake Brendel. Now, I don't think you spend a first-round pick on center. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody that's coming out that's elite. Don't know yet. But look at the premium positions. Defensive end, offensive tackle, not wide receiver anymore. Golly, stop it on wide receiver. We are good there now. And hopefully you will be next year. We'll see what happens. But Ricky Pearsall, you're hoping, you know, your top draft pick and Deshaun Stribling take steps forward. And you've got under contract multiple years, Kirk and Mike Evans. So, like, that's there too. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see what that looks like. Guard's going to be a question. What happens at left guard? But tackle, edge, the usual suspects. Defensive tackle, who knows? Maybe nobody in the defensive tackle room steps up with Osa Odighizuwa. Maybe Alfred Collins doesn't take those steps forward. Maybe, you know, those guys don't step up. Edge is going to be at the top of the list always. Offensive tackle, going to be up there always. And we'll have a lot of time once we get there and, you know, how things develop. Because the 49ers, their approach right now is, we've got a roster. Let's see what we got. Maybe if you get on a roll and this team's looking like, all right, great things could happen at the trade deadline, you address one of those needs. Very possible. Very possible. You've got the cap space for it this year. Next year's a little horrible, and the following year is even worse than that. You've got some built-in restructures that you can do and all that. Ugh. But, yeah, I don't think you're really looking at that now. There is solid depth on this roster at all premium positions. Can people step up? Can Romello Hype be a guy? Can you know, Grayson Halton be a guy? You got to wait and see what that's going to look like. But offensive tackle and edge, that's probably going to be top of the list right now with what's going on. We'll see what that is. This has been fun. I appreciate it. It's good talking football. It's good being with you all. And I'm thankful for the time you spent with us. And hopefully you guys enjoy this. We'll keep counting them down. Hopefully Tuesday we get a John and Wayne episode. I'll text Wayne and see if we can get that set up. Apologies again on missing those last couple of weeks. But we'll see what it is. You guys are the absolute best. It's been a blast being with you. Until next time. Stay strong, faithful.